Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the only witness is the one they silenced. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The Menendez brothers could be set free as early as sometime in November, or really anytime. The Los Angeles courts want to take up this issue. The district attorney, George Kassan, saying just this last week, he believes the Menendez brothers should be free. He does believe their story of being molested and abused by their father, Jose Menendez, all those years ago, in light of new evidence, including that letter that was recently found and the accusations from former Menudo member Roy Resilio. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. They're not free yet, but we have the statement and the press conference from George Kassan, the Los Angeles district attorney. Are they going to be free? Could there be other hiccups in this process going forward that may not lead to the bright day that a lot of people think are about to take place?
Well, it is a process, Tony, but one of the hardest points has already been passed, and that is having it resentenced, having the DA say, let's get this resentenced, and also going a step further and saying he thinks they've done the appropriate amount of time, essentially. Mm-hmm. So why did he do that? I mean, I just point at the fact that he's up for re-election at the end of December, which is just a couple months away, and the fact that his constituency, you know, all got behind this movement. When you look at some big names, yeah, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, Leah Kardashians, many others, that are totally behind their release. Mm-hmm. Because really at the crux of this, Tony, to me is, do you or do you not believe that the Menendez brothers were sexually horribly molested and raped for years and years in their childhood? Mm-hmm. If you believe that, and many people do, they believe they've served their time. For me, I just don't believe it. It's not... It just comes down to the timing of everything. How in the world did we not hear word one about this? Not in the with his first attorney, not in hours and hours of tapes, which were privileged and confidential with his their therapists. Why did none of this come out until the trial and a change of attorney? And then all of a sudden, all of this horror was laid out, including the fact, by the way, according to both brothers, Lyle Menendez sexually assaulted on multiple occasions Eric, mm-hmm, yeah, with a toothbrush. Yeah. So, and then, of course, everybody says, well, how would he know to do that as a child? Well, it wasn't like he was eight. You know, they were about 3 years apart or so, and they're very ambiguous about all of that. But I honestly, I just feel like it's contrived. People say, well, nobody could be that good of an actor. Well, go back to the 911 tape. I mean, it was all very well planned. They took their time. They set out their, you know, their alibi. They went back to the house. They staged this 911. Listen, if they would have called right after the murders, called the police and said, oh my God, my parents were going to kill me. We couldn't take the sexual abuse anymore. This is what's been going on in our life. I think many people would say, whoa, wait a minute. There's a reason for all of this. But that's not what happened in the least.
I don't know that in 1989, that would have been the result. If they called and said, my parents were sexually abusing us, we had to kill them, I think they'd be in jail immediately. Quite honestly, I don't think they would have had that time to go and go on the shopping spree and such. It was just such a different place for men or boys to be believed on that subject. I mean, we were literally having debates at that point in time in courtrooms and on talk shows and things of that nature of, can a man be raped? Can a boy be raped? Like, literally, can it happen? And some of the output at that time and the common belief at that time was, well, you don't have the goods to be raped. That's not, and we know that's not an accurate statement. Men can certainly be raped and violated in many different ways. It's just we didn't really talk about it much back then. And more or less, if it happened to you, and certainly women know this, you don't want to talk about it. Especially for men. I think the culture is still very much there for men today, not wanting to talk about it for fear of what the public repercussion is going to be and what people are going to think. And it's a sad place that that's where we are. But all these years later, trying to determine if this happened or didn't happen, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's almost kind of settled history that this happened, especially with the Menudo allegations. There's other members that claim that they are willing to talk now too, besides Roy. And yeah, going back to that toothbrush, the fact that he went into the woods, I mean, he testified to that in the first trial and even broke down and apologized for that. I mean, that is the work of someone who was sexually abused. That's not the work of a healthy child that it just came to mind, hey, let me go rape my brother with a toothbrush in the woods. I mean, that is, I almost would say, surely someone who's been sexually abused, wouldn't you?
I agree if it happened.
Yeah.
I just struggle with it. How come it took over 30 years mm-hmm. for Roy to come out and say, well, this happened? 30 plus years and amidst a deal. You know, he was in the middle of doing some sort of production mm-hmm. TV or movie type story. Wow. To add that bit of salacious piece into it, I think, you know, became more obvious that somebody might want to do a deal with him, right? And
sure.
Then the letter hasn't been authenticated. My point is, how much time was really spent on authenticating this abuse?
Mm-hmm.
I know family members are coming forward and saying, listen, he treated them bad, but of course, none of them have firsthand knowledge of anything that happened.
Yeah. Look, it's easy to judge from the sidelines. It's easy to say they could have done it a different way, or why didn't they just walk away? But here's the thing about abuse. When it's your everyday reality, your normal, the rest of the world's logic doesn't apply. What seems extreme or unthinkable to most people, to someone who spent years being violated, degraded, and silenced, that might feel like survival. The Menendez brothers didn't grow up in a world of options. They grew up in a world of a gilded cage where the person that was supposed to protect them was their tormentor. And whether we like it or not, there's a psychological cost to enduring that kind of betrayal for years. Does it excuse their actions? No. Does it explain them? Abso-frickin-lutely. It's not just about the money. It's about the finality. Desperately escaping the control of their abuser. And if we condemn them outright, are we ignoring the bigger issue? How many victims of abuse, desperate and cornered, make choices we'll never understand? And how do we as a society respond? By labeling them monsters or trying to understand the madness that they live through? Yeah, there's people out there who lie. Yes, there are manipulators. But the idea that we should dismiss abuse just because someone didn't disclose it the way we think they should have, that's dangerous. Trauma doesn't work on our timeline. Justice shouldn't either. So here's the real question. What do we do when survival looks like a crime? Do we keep punishing victims for not being perfect? Or do we start acknowledging that the messy reality of trauma, however uncomfortable that might be, is there? And sometimes the actions that go along with it may not always fit perfectly into the book we want to close it into. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and the other cases that we follow for you, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts.
Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware, like, went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era.
Yeah. We're diving into all that and more. more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine.